Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. A big game tonight for the Nashville Predators, hosting the St. Louis Blues. The St. Louis Blues, after losing 4-0 to the San Jose Sharks, then beat the Edmonton Oilers, a big game for them. Now they come to Nashville, and St. Louis very much so has playoff hopes. St. Louis very much so is going to come in here and play like their season is on the line. Because even though it's not, it kind of feels like it. And it feels like it for both sides. It feels like it for the Blues, and it feels like it for the Preds. Because the Preds lose this game tonight, that doesn't mean they drop out of the playoffs. It doesn't mean they drop in the standings. It doesn't mean that it's time to panic. It doesn't mean that the world is falling. But it does feel like if you can beat the Blues tonight, you're in a much better situation moving forward. It's a 4-point swing. 2 points you get, 2 points that they don't.
They're trying to cross the finish line is what it really amounts to. The Kings winning last night probably took a little wind out of the sails for the Blues, because
in the Preds,
they've got to catch one of the two, and the Kings won, so they're within one of the Predators for that wild card number one. So wild card number one is the Predators with 90 points, 7 games to play. Kings with 89, 7 games to play. Blues 84, 7 games to play. So the Blues have no margin for error. And they need some help. So even if they can give themselves some help by beating the Predators tonight, and then they would still need some help. The Predators could lose this game and still control their own destiny. Mm-hmm. But again, you want to just get it done. You want to cross that finish line, and you want to be playing good hockey at this time of the year. But that being said, I remember the Predators last year. They had faint hopes, right? But they what they brought to the table in those games down the stretch. They emptied the buckets. They knocked off a couple of teams. They knocked the Calgary Flames out of the playoffs, right? They were the last team standing that didn't make it. So they ended some team seasons. So I feel like you will get the best punch the Blues have tonight. And they are a very capable team that's got talent, and they've been winning. They're 8-2-1 in their last 11. Now, I talked to some of their guys that cover their team this morning, and they're like, well, you know, they really screwed up their shot when they lost to San Jose. That was a tough blow, but give them a lot of credit. They turned right around and beat the Edmonton Oilers to stay in this thing. So I think from the Predators' standpoint, you look at this as this is your gateway to the playoffs. This is going to have a playoff kind of atmosphere and urgency. This is how you're going to have to play and play well in atmospheres like this, if you're going to do well in the playoffs. So look at it that way and rely on your serial winners who have been there.
I think the game against Boston had a playoff feel. And I'm talking about at home. Now, I'm sure in Colorado there was a playoff feel there as well.
Oh, they're exactly. Hungry over there. They're absolutely hungry out in Colorado, no question.
There was a playoff feel there. And, you know, for the most part, hey, listen, the Preds was holding their own for a while and just kind of let it get out of hand. Come back here, and you play Boston, and it's a hard-fought game, but ultimately Boston wins. That was a playoff-type atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the same thing tonight, a playoff-type atmosphere. They need this game they need it because they want to get closer to the playoffs, obviously, and they want to separate themselves from the next team, you know, that has the potential of possibly taking their spot. But I think they need to win this game just so they can, because I know how it can be in the locker room when you know, like, every game counts. Like, if we don't get this game, the next game is even bigger. And if we don't get that game, then damn, it's like now the pressure is, now it's closing in. The walls are closing in. You get a win tonight, it helps the walls stay still for a minute. Because right now, the walls are still feeling like they're closing in. Not to a point that they're not going to make the playoff, I don't think. But the point of going on the ice and everything being like a must.
Yeah.
Everything's a must. If you get tonight's game, everything is still a must, but the walls are not closing in. The walls have stopped. And now you can take a breath just for a minute before you head and play the next game. If you don't win this game, now the pressure really goes on.
Yeah, it goes up a level.
Exactly.
No question, yeah.
It's exhausting to have that pressure level go up. And then it feels like, because 8 games left in the season, every game the pressure is going to be high. And then you go into an incredibly high-pressure situation into the playoffs. And that's exhausting. Mm-hmm. But Willie, you bring up relying on the serial winners, relying on the Ryan O'Reillys and the Gus Nyquists and the Ryan McDonoughs and the Roman Yossis. And Philip Forsberg is absolutely a part of that conversation. But is there a reason to be concerned about Philip Forsberg? Barry Trotz mentioned on Jared's show a couple of weeks ago that he's dealing with, I believe he's had a cut that's just kind of been nagging him, and Philip Forsberg hasn't practiced over the last couple of weeks. So Andrew Burnett joined Robbie and Rex Road this morning, gave an update on I don't want to call it an injury, but what's been nagging Philip Forsberg. This was Andrew Burnett.
With Forsberg not practicing, Andrew, is it fair to say basically he's just got a nagging thing that, like, you would have to just completely stop playing for a minute to deal with? And I guess if you do get to the point where you're in good position here late season, would that be something you would consider?
I think it's very manageable. It's just kind of irritated, so I think it's something that it might take a whole offseason to kind of let go of, but it's nothing that forces him from day to day not playing. I mean, he could practice with it, but I don't think it's really going to help him out. It's just an irritating thing right now, so it's nothing at all major. I don't think missing one game or two games is going to make a big difference.
Not a big deal, but Philip Forsberg this season has played the best hockey of his career, and mm-hmm. I think that we would be wrong in saying that he wasn't a massive catalyst for not just this entire season, but also the 18-game point streak. Is there a reason to be concerned about Philip Forsberg and maybe the production that he's given you or gave you in the early part of the season, the first 75% of the season, that maybe you haven't seen over the last couple of games?
First of all, I'll take Barry Trotz's word mm-hmm. for it. This was, I want to say, probably 3 weeks ago, maybe, he revealed what was going on. And so he's been dealing with this thing for a while. He said a cut. I don't know the specifics of the cut, where it is or why it inhibited him.
I think it's more than a paper cut.
But it's safe to say that since he said that, he's had some enormous games,
yeah.
Right? Practice or no practice.
Yeah.
He's had some huge games. So he's been dealing just fine with it. The only concern I would ask would be, has it gotten any worse? Or, something like that. I think I heard Bruno say he's just irritating. Mm-hmm. So to me, that's hockey players deal with plenty of irritating things.
At this point in the season, absolutely.
I think it's a non-issue.
It's something that because of, I can assume, I'm going to assume here, it's something that just needs to, we're in the season, it's never going to heal, really, because you're always putting the pads on, putting the pads off, taking
probably
a shower.
Some friction or everything. Stuff like that. Yeah,
so it's not going to heal until he's not in pads for a good month.
Yeah.
And then it's able to heal. But it's not going to hinder him or, cause him to miss the games moving forward, too.
Yeah. And so the other thing is, this is the ebb and flow of a hockey season. Like, even the best will have a game or two or three where the puck just doesn't go in. Mm-hmm. So Forsberg has been held in check. Forsberg and Yossi the last couple games have been held in check a little bit here. So you hope that is going to cycle back, or you get, somebody picks up the slack from somewhere else in the lineup. I believe they're going to go back with Anthony Beauvillier tonight, who has been scratched in favor of Cody Glass. So we'll see if he gets going. I still think Beauvillier can give him something here, and he, he's still finding his way. Maybe hitting the reset button and, getting his bearings a little bit will help him the second time through, getting back out there.
Is that the only lineup change?
That looks like the only lineup change to me that I saw.
Do you know who's in net?
Oh, I would assume Saros is in there tonight. I believe Saros is in there. Okay. Yeah.
So let's roll some of the possibilities tonight. You beat the Blues. It's a 4-point swing. You feel good. You're not, the X is not by your name. You haven't clinched, but you feel better about it. You feel like, St. Louis, who's been playing, or at least played well against Edmonton, had the stinker against San Jose, but St. Louis, who kind of feels like they're creeping, you at least swat them away and put them at bay for now. Preds lose tonight, then what?
Well, I think it emboldens the Blues. They would walk out of here saying, okay,
We got a chance.
Okay, we still got a chance. And they've got some opponents that they could mow down. If you look at their next few games, they are winnable games. They are very winnable, for sure. The Predators go to Long Island, and they will play the Islanders, who are creeping back up. They're 1 point out of a playoff spot. So that's going to be a quasi-playoff game on Saturday. No question about it. So it just, you know, like you were saying, D-Mace, the walls creep a little closer together. You get a little more tension, a little more nervousness that potentially could enter your locker room. But again, I like the leadership group. They've been through these kind of things. You feel like they will manage that pretty well, right? It's more of a veteran team. Since the trade deadline, they've gone a little bit on the older side and not the younger side. So this team has been through it. Now, does that mean they're going to figure it out? No, anything can happen in hockey. That's the thing. Anything can happen. So that's why I think this game is important. That's why, we saw that last night, right? and that's, by the way, New Jersey is another team that the Predators play here. That's a back-to-back. So you've got a back-to-back situation Saturday, Sunday. So tonight, I think you could deliver a blow to the Blues where they would have to reasonably look and say, that might be it. So this is like the last stand for the Blues. That's why I think tonight is so important for them, the urgency on the Blues. So you have to match that if you're the Predators, and if you want to be successful.
And there's no games in hand by either one of these teams.
Nope, seven games left, including tonight.
So it was seven games left. I said eight earlier. Seven. Excuse me, I'll correct myself on that. And Barry Trotz, when he was on with Jared earlier this week, he talked about how the playoffs, it's just different. And we know that. Playoff hockey is so different. It's a different feel. It almost feels like you're watching a different game when you're watching playoff hockey. And Barry Trotz talks about how the mentality going into the playoffs and the mentality going into games that aren't playoff games but feel like playoff games, and having players that can go in with a certain level of level-headedness. And when you're going into the game stressed out and panicked and thinking about, oh my gosh, this game's important, you play off your game. You play tense. I think that when you bring up the serial winners, that's such a massive part of it, that they've been here. They've done this. They've played in big games. And although tonight's not a playoff game, it's a game with a playoff feel.
Oh, yeah. That's why, you know, I'm curious to see what the crowd looks like tonight. The crowds have been really good lately. They sense this that's going on. I think the crowd could make a big impact on this game tonight. I want to have a playoff feeling when I watch this game tonight. That's what I'm hoping for the crowd. And I think Andrew Burnett's the first to say, and Barry Trotz is as well, that they make a difference in the game. In games like this, you hope that your crowd can give you a little boost. There's no question that's been happening the last few games.
Well, they need a Friday night frenzy. I know it's not Friday night, but they sure enough need it to
Friday
feel
night
like,
frenzy
exactly,
on a Thursday.
On a Thursday night.
That's Thursday.
How they need this stadium or this arena to feel. Because the Predators are going to need that energy. Because St. Louis they're walking in here and they're sort of in the same position. The Predators are trying to maintain and the Blues are trying to get in.
I think the start is important too, because I think if the Blues get off to a good start, that's only going to fuel their fire a little bit. Oh, okay. But we might get this. And that's where Predators have had some good starts.
Exactly. The last three games, really, with the – the last three games, even the game they didn't score, you know, even the last game against Boston, they played tough first periods. They played tough second periods. They just let it get away from them in that mid-second to third period in the two games. Well, really all of them.
Yeah.
But I think they started off by
Arizona. Arizona ambushed them after the Predators got the good start. And then, not to make excuses, but I do think the McDonough thing was a tough one to overcome. That was a big part of why they couldn't hold the lead there. But all that being said, I still think that if you can get off to a good start, get the crowd going and put the Blues behind the eight ball. I'm not going to say the Blues are going to back down at all, but I think if you can keep instilling doubt that, you know, we're the better team here. We're here to put you away tonight. Mm-hmm. I think over the course of the game, you can maybe wear them down some.
Well, if they play like they did against Boston, then I think they will wear St. Louis down very quickly.
Yeah, and this is where Jordan Binnington's a big game goalie, right? He's the guy that if you're getting outshot, if you're getting outchance, he can keep you in it. You know, so he's a key guy to watch tonight. The Predators have had success against him this year, but he's a guy that has won a ton of big games, and he's been playing well for them lately. He's been through it.
I want to get into some of your thoughts on this as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One text or text in and asks, is this a must-win game for the Predators?
I would say yes.
You think so?
Yes, not necessarily. Well, yes, because for this reason. I think you want to stop the bleeding, for one. And you want to get back to that those winning ways that you had. You've been playing good hockey, but you haven't extended that good hockey throughout the whole game. Started off well against Arizona. Started off well against Colorado. Played tough against Boston. But there was this line in each game where it just seems like either you slowed down, the other team picked it up, or something happened. Now, obviously, the McDonough thing, but this team has to – you know, it's a must win because they have to get back to what they had, you know, prior to this three-game losing streak. They got to get back to that. I'm not saying that they lose, they miss the playoffs, but you don't want to continue because it gets harder. The more losing you do, even though, you know, it may come down to the last game of the season. That's the pressure you didn't have to have. Mm-hmm. If you took care of business at least one or two games, you know, remaining. If you take care of business tonight in another game down the line, you're in.
It'd be nice to be in.
Exactly. So that's why I say it's a must win, because I think they need to just relieve some of the pressure.
I'm gonna meet you halfway. By definition, it's not a must win. Yeah, because even if the Blues win in regulation, which is what they need to happen to really keep their hopes alive, the Predators still control their own destiny in the final six games. They can still, you know, if they win, if they win four more games, even if the Blues won every game in regulation, the Predators would still be in the playoffs over them. So they control their own destiny, even if they lose tonight. But I would like to see them play like it's a must win. And I think I hear Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette talk about process a lot. Now, how many times did Nick Saban talk about process?
The process.
That. Good coaches are always about that, right? There are certain things you can't control. If Binnington stands on his head and just steals the game, or if you have a – remember the goal the Canadiens scored where it hit the stanchion and kicked into the net directly? Those are things you can't control. But you can control your process. If you come out and play your game, like the other night, I think they all walked out of there going, all right, we lost to the Bruins. But we played our game. We played a good game. If we keep doing that in the last seven games – the process tells us we will get where we want to go here.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see tonight. What you don't want to see is a letdown and you're like, and panic setting in and what's going on and the Blues come in and steal one easily. That's when you start saying, well, is it time to sort of, you know, sound the alarm here a little bit. But I think they're confident in the process if they execute the process.
I struggle calling it a must-win game because I do think, to a certain extent, that phrase is overused. Like, a divisional round of the playoffs game, like, that's a must-win.
Right.
Like, game seven of the playoffs, like, you need to win that
game. You lose, you're out.
Game three and you're down 2-0. Like, you need to win that game. Those are must-win games. I can't call this a must-win because if the Predators lose this game, they're still in the playoffs. Does it make you feel uncomfortable? Yeah, absolutely it does. And it makes things unnecessarily uncomfortable moving forward. But your season's not over. I don't know what another phrase would be, like a really important game to win, which doesn't sound nearly as sexy or pressing as must win. But I think also, too, what you don't want to see is they come out lazy. They come out lackadaisical. They come out slow. That's concerning to me because this is a playoff-style game. This is a playoff-esque game. And in the playoffs, you need to come out and you need to come out with your best game every single night. You need to come out playing fast. You need to come out playing hard. It's one of the reasons why I can step away from that Bruins game and say, that stinks, but still encouraged. Because for 2.5 periods, they went toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. And they played well, and they played fast, and they got great goaltending. That's the key to me, is just don't come out slow. Come out playing like this is a playoff game. All right, we'll continue the conversation coming up next. We'll get back into your phones on this. We've got a lot of thoughts on the Predators, so we are to your thoughts on those coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
Privately look around, Andrew, and think about what possible matchups could be ahead in the postseason. I'm not expecting you to say it. I mean, you can say it to us if you'd like to. If you want to rank your favorites, you know, here. But like, do you let yourself even think about that right now, or just,
not a chance?
Not at all.
Not a chance. No. I think not a chance. I just got to get in, and I think we've done a good job of just playing the team that's in front of us today through that stretch, and I think that was good for us. It was a good learning experience. That we don't look too far ahead. We don't look too, anything behind. We just play what we got in front of us. And it's going to be a great challenge tonight against a very desperate team. And we have to match their desperation level. And we have to outwill them tonight if we want to win.
That was Predators head coach Andrew Brunette.
I don't think Coach Willie could have said it any better.
That was text.
I did not tell Bruno to say that. Coach
you
Willie
probably
did not
did.
Talk about it.
Yeah,
he is wired just like Coach Willie, though.
Y'all had coffee this morning. Y'all had coffee together, Willie. Stop it.
Coach Bruno went to the Willie Donovan media training. It's interesting that you bring that up, because just hearing Andrew Brunette talk about that, so we just got to get in, the task ahead of us, it was very coach speak. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Andrew Brunette was asked if there's a team that he would rather play in the playoffs, what he would say, because Jared asked Barry that earlier this week, and Barry was like, oh yeah, there's a team that I'd rather face in the playoffs. I'm not going to tell you who,
okay,
but there is absolutely a team that I would rather see in the playoff than others. And we do, OBB, Open Book Barry, he says certain things that just other people, GMs, players, coaches do not say. I would venture to guess that Andrew Brunette's answer would be, we don't care who it is. We just have to get in, and whoever we play, it's going to be great competition and so on and so forth. But Barry's like, oh, yeah. There is a team I'd rather play in the playoffs.
Listen, Barry is what every GM wants to be, but they're like, I can't do it. I can't give that much. No, I can't do it. And Barry just like, hey, listen, this is what it is. Just because I don't say it doesn't mean it's not there. Yeah, there is a team I would like to play, but I don't care. That doesn't mean I don't mind playing this team or that team or that team. We got to play who we got to play. But if you're asking me if I had a team to pick, yeah, there is a team that I would like to play.
It's not going
to
be like Penny Hardaway in the NIT. Like, no thanks. We don't want to go. Like, it's
exactly.
Not going to be like, oh, we don't want to go to the playoffs because we have to play Colorado instead of Dallas.
And Barry knows what he's doing when he says stuff like that. I think he knows. He throws it out there, get people riled up a little bit. He knows what he's doing because he doesn't have to say any of that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he does.
Yeah.
He gives you just enough that you keep coming back to listen to him more and more. He knows how to play the game.
But Brunette, I sense, this is just my observation from where I sit, and because I've seen this in a lot of coaches, mm-hmm, right? They stay up at night and they're thinking that there's a little bit of paranoia, there's a little bit of worrywart stuff, right? Yeah. There's like, okay, what's the worst thing? We got to guard against that. There's Lou Holtz was always famous for, even if they were playing the Sisters of the Poor, mm-hmm, well, he would say, hey, the Sisters of the Poor, man, they are unbelievably well coached, and they've got this new sister that's unbelievably good, and we got to be ready. He's famous for that, right?
Nick Saban talking about Mercer, like they got to shut down.
They're unbelievably good. They're like, unbelievably well. I have so much respect for the Mercer program.
No, you don't.
You're going to kill them. It's going to be 50-0.
But he always had to find something.
There's that coach. Yeah. The coach in the DNA has that. I think Brunette is like that. He's like, I've got to make sure. First things first. You cannot talk about playoffs before you are in the playoffs. They're not in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you've got an urgent team tonight, mm-hmm, that is going to give you everything they've got. And if you're not ready to go, you could get beat. And if you get beat, it only gets tougher to get into the playoffs.
Well, he understands that his position, being the head coach, he is tasked with worrying about everything. And you just going out there and playing. I worry about everything else. I will get with the coaches to make sure we have everything covered, all situations, no matter what it is. You just go out there and play. and continue to work the things that we have been talking about. I need to worry about everything else. And I think that's every coach in every position, whether it's the professional leagues or the collegiate leagues or even sometimes high school. We are tasked with worrying about a lot of things. You are just tasked with just going out there and playing.
Big one tonight for the Predators. We're live out here at Barrel House at Bridgestone Arena. Predators, Blues, puck drop at 7 o'clock. Pre-game coverage starting at 6 p.m. on 102.5 and 106.3. The game. Want to get into some of your thoughts and your reaction, your anticipation for the game tonight. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our guy Adam in Portland is on the line with a thought on the Preds. Go ahead, Adam. What's up?
Hey, Willie. So I called you last week, and I said, "You remember what I said? I just want to see them lose." And you kind of laughed.
Oh yeah, that's right,
dude.
And they lost. You got your wish. What? We had some fun at your expense on Friday, Adam.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, Adam, we opened the show with your call on Friday. I don't know if you heard it or not.
I missed that. No, look, hey, it's not me trying to, and I wasn't being smart, and I'm not Nostradamus, but look, they haven't won since. So, like, that's a legit fear of mine as a big fan of these guys is, like, I don't. What's to come, man? Like, they're seriously streaky. We know that. Like, probably more so than any team of late, they're streaky. So, are they going to be on a streaky bad losing streak? Like,
Well, you tell me. Is it okay if they win now? Is it all right with you and your grand plan if they turn it around and start winning? Have they lost enough for you to?
Yeah, Adam, you were the one that said that.
You're the one that wanted this.
Yeah, okay. You asked for this.
You asked for this, Adam.
You did this.
Come on.
I think I've been with you guys long enough that you've minced my words now, and I can tell you that you've minced my words, and you're trying to hurt me, and I'm not going to let you. But no, look, hey, I want them to do really well. I'm just saying, dude, like, that's what happens with hot streaks, man. The Titans, hey, the 13-3 seasons, man, we would almost be like, okay, it's been going so well. I kind of need him to lose because I don't need him to lose later. I need him to go ahead and get it out of the way. But, like, I'm hoping that's what it is with the Preds. I'm hoping they just get it out of the way now.
Thank you for your call, Adam.
Thank you, Adam.
I'm going to have to start. You know, worry wart Willie no more. It is worry wart Adam from Portland.
He's taking the mantle.
Yeah. Anxiety Adam.
Anxiety Adam.
There you go.
Double A.
Double A.
Tonight, after tonight, then I will. If the Predators lose tonight, and you know, I'm not going to go ahead and jump to conclusions, and I'm not going to be anxious or worried assuming that they will because they haven't. I will join Anxiety Adam and Worry Wart Willie.
Some therapy sessions.
If the Predators lose tonight, but I can't get there right now. Because if they win tonight, all of that worrying kind of feels like it goes away, doesn't it?
Making the playoffs,
yeah,
for sure.
I would think it would.
The magic number, this is a 4-point game. The old saying of this is, that's what it is. The magic number for the Predators is 8. They could reduce that to 4. Or it remains at 8. I mean, that's a big swing. And, of course, there's overtime losses.
But wouldn't you say they just need they need a point? They need to walk away with at least a point.
A point would help. Yeah. There's no doubt. That would make the climb still very steep, much more so than a regulation win. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you who else is going to – and I've heard it many times on many different sports and teams – you know who in the afternoon is going to, I'm worried. You know that will happen tomorrow. He's going to join Worry Wart Willie and Anxiety Adam and Caroline in the therapy. And Jared will be there too. He'll be, I'm worried. He's going to be like that.
Jittery Jared.
Yeah, Jittery Jared. There you go.
Jared. So it was on Jared versus Joe last night. And that was one of my questions for both Jared and Joe was, has this 3-game losing streak changed your perception of what this team could accomplish in the playoffs? And both of them said, no, it happens. You're going to lose a few games. You won 16, not in a row, but an 18-game stretch. You won 16 of them. Mm-hmm. Andrew Burnett talked a lot about the hockey gods after the Boston game, and I think he was more so talking about specifically the game itself, but I think you could look at this last 2021 game stretch and say, look, it's the hockey gods. It's the law of averages. You won a lot. You're going to lose a few. Now get back to your winning ways, and then all will be well in the world.
Yeah, and you've hit this point, both of you have, and I think that's an important one, is what are you seeing on the ice?
Yeah.
You can lose and still say, well, you know, I still like how they're playing. What's the process? You know, what are the analytics telling you? Are they doing the little things? I think that will be a big part of it. If they just come out and look completely disjointed, then I think that it would contribute to how worried you would be the next day. If it's just an unbelievable game and the Blues play, their goalie plays lights out, but the Predators outshoot them, outchance them, you know, that's a little different than, like, let's knock on wood, the Dallas effort where it was below the standard. Remember, that was the big talk, the whole cancellation of the trip and everything was, we are not playing up to the standard that we have set. But these last three losses, they haven't played great, but they also, they've put out, so there's been some good things in there. I don't see them completely just mailing it in or anything like that.
That in these last three games, which obviously they've lost, I think there were moments where you can pick out as a coach and say, these are things that we're doing that are great, and these are things that we have continued to do even when we were in that 18-point streak. Mm-hmm. It has carried over even in the losses, the good things that we're doing. But also, we got to clean up some of this bad stuff. We got to play three periods instead of two and a half. We can't get, lax just because we have a lead. We got to continue. This is the time, well, it started a while back, but this is a time where when you have teams, down 2-0, you got to bury them. You can't give them any life. And I think they gave Arizona life. They definitely gave Colorado life, but we understand the circumstance within that. And then it just seems like, one mistake against Boston or one just lack of concentration or whatnot, they go in, they score a goal, and then all of a sudden the game's pretty much over. Mm-hmm. Whoever scores that first goal more than likely will win this game. Boston ended up scoring it, and the Predators could not rebound from that. So they've done some good things in this losing streak of three. They've done some bad things. They got to figure out a way to clean up the bad stuff and continue with the good stuff.
And we'll continue this conversation with Elliot Friedman. He'll join us at 1 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll talk this game. We'll talk playoffs. We'll talk tonight. And we'll talk moving forward with Elliot. But coming up next, why is his name? Mike Lombardi. My goodness. Lombardi. I was like, who in the world am I thinking of? Mike Lombardi touched on the Stefon Diggs trade. Of course, it was the news of yesterday morning. Stefon Diggs traded from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans. And we spent a lot of day yesterday talking about what that means for the Texans, what that means for the Titans, what that means for the AFC South. But could this actually be one of the best things that the Buffalo Bills could have done in the strangest way possible? We'll get into that coming up next before we catch up with Elliot at 1 p.m. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, tune in to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game this week for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today at toyota.com.
That the Buffalo Bills are finalizing a trade to send star wide receiver Stefon Diggs to the Houston Texans for draft compensation. Michael, Buffalo gets the Texans' sixth round pick this April, a 2025 second, that's the big one, and a fifth. What did you make of the news?
Well, I a couple things here. Diggs, when he first got traded to Buffalo, he was coming off almost an 18-yard season per catch. This year he had 11.1, wasn't the same player. And I think Buffalo is shifting from a 11-team, one back, three receivers, to a 12-team, one back, two tight ends. And I felt like they were probably had enough. Now, here's the biggest issue. They just redid his contract. Mm. So basically, they paid $20 million over two seasons to get a second-round pick 2 years from now. I mean, this was bad planning. And now, but with Tre'Davious White and Diggs, they've got astronomical. They have almost $50 million in dead money on their cap because of the two players that they signed to extensions that aren't even there. But, look, for Buffalo, it's going to come down to drafting a young player. Maybe it'll be Mac Hollins replaces Gabe Davis. Because remember, with Gabe Davis and Diggs now, Stormy, they lost 92 first downs. Forget the catches. When you catch it and get a first down, that's the most important thing, right? Mm-hmm. You get to keep the ball. And so, 92 first downs, a lot of first downs to replace. Can Curtis Samuel handle that? I don't know. Mac Hollins, when he played at the Raiders 2 years ago, could vertically run down the field and make plays. Could he replace Gabe Davis? We shall see. But they're going to need to draft a receiver. But the one thing I will say, as long as you have Josh Allen, he can make everybody look better.
That was Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle podcast. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we're out here at Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight against the St. Louis Blues. So I hear Michael Lombardi there, and we talked about this a lot yesterday, about what this means for the Texans, the Bills, the Titans, so on and so forth. But the more and more I think about it, the more and more I feel like all of this dead money that the Bills are on the hook for could actually be a good thing for the team. And I know you might think, why? Like, you're losing playmakers and Stephon Diggs, and Michael Lombardi mentioned 92 first downs from between Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs combined. You lose Tre'Davious White. But the Bills are fronting that money to get rid of a player who was a cancer in the locker room in Stephon Diggs, which is, let's be honest, that's what he was. He was causing a problem. He was publicly embarrassing Josh Allen. And they're getting rid of a player in Tre'Davious White who played 4 games last year and 6 games the year before. He hasn't played a full season since 2018. So yes, it's a lot of dead money. And yes, you're losing 2 marquee players, more specifically in Stephon Diggs, since he's been the more available and the more impactful player. But the Bills, if I'm the Bills, I'm looking at it like, look, we're going to pay for it now. We're going to have to deal with the dead cap money now. But we're moving on from 2 players that either didn't give us anything or gave us more bad than good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the, you know, Tre'Davious White, I think that was basically because of the injury history.
Yeah.
Like you said.
He's not available.
He
I think he's a good guy, but not available.
He's a good player, but he hasn't been available enough for the Buffalo Bills. So they had to eventually move on from him. And he's been on their roster for a good minute now. The Stephon Diggs situation, I just think, and I think Lombardi is right, I think they're going in another direction. They want this to be Josh Allen's team, and they don't want him to have to compete with anybody else. Because when Stephon Diggs is in a locker room, he's a alpha player. Mm-hmm. And with that comes a lot of things. You know, you gain the respect of some people may defer to you rather than to defer to Josh Allen on some things. Some people may side with you rather than side with Josh Allen. And then you have the antics on the sideline. I'm not sure if he was a cancer in the locker room, but when you show up your quarterback on national television more times than once, mm-hmm. then that continues to be a problem. And I said this yesterday. I think there was a point, not that he and Diggs don't like each other, outside of the football field. I'm not saying they hung out with each other. I'm sure they respected one another, and they had somewhat of a friendship. But I think during the games, not outside of the locker room, not outside of the field, but during the game, he made Josh Allen uncomfortable because now I not only have to worry about just the game, I got to worry about getting him the ball every time, or if I don't get it, the ball, and we don't make a third down, is he going to explode on the sideline? Mm-hmm. That's why I think Buffalo sort of was like, okay, this needs to be his club, his ball club, and not share with Stephon Diggs. So they moved on for Stephon Diggs. So to me, you know, it's going to be a blow to Buffalo. I don't know how much of a advantage they will get in Houston with adding him to that roster. Now, obviously, he does, you know, truly solidify that receiving room. Now they got 3 bona fide guys that can go out and get it. But he has to understand that his role changes now. Mm-hmm. And you're walking into a situation where you're not the number one anymore. Nico Collins is the number one. He's proven he's the number one. He's the number one to the quarterback and to the offensive coordinator because he was there last year and put up good numbers. And then you got Tank Dell that is going to come back off an injury. Now you have to find your place, Stephon Diggs. You're still a damn good player, but you got to find your place because you're not walking in, you know, and uplifting a wide receiver room to have a bunch of scrubs. No, they got 2 bona fide studs, and you're walking in. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to find your place. They ain't making a place for you. You got to find your place within this receiving core. The sooner you find your place, the better this team will be. If you can't find your place and you complaining, they're going to get rid of you very quickly because you can't have that circling a young quarterback. And to Lombardi's saying Josh Allen makes players better, Who has he made better? Answer me that question, Willie.
Who has Josh Allen might take issue with that.
Yeah. Who has Josh Allen made better? What was Josh Allen before Diggs got there? Nothing. I'm going to answer that question for you. Nothing. Okay?
I mean, that is obvious, clear and obvious. I was going to say.
No, he didn't make Gabe Davis better either.
I don't know if I can say that
running
he did or
backs?
Didn't.
No. I mean, again,
Stephon
I'm not.
Diggs elevated Josh Allen.
Josh Allen is a good quarterback. No doubt about it. If we had him, I would love to have him here if he was our quarterback.
I don't know if you would.
But he's not the quarterback that everybody portrays him to be. It's like, did y'all see what was going on before Stephon? They were wondering whether he was the quarterback or not. Like, did we make a mistake by drafting this guy? Because he can't hit the broadside of a barn. And then all of a sudden you get Stephon Diggs, and now you're an elite quarterback.
Yeah. And I think more quarterbacks fall into that category than not. Like Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts, we were talking about, is Jalen Hurts a starting quarterback in this league?
Yes.
And all of a sudden you surround him with playmakers, and he turned into the highest paid quarterback in the history of the National Football League. So I think, to be fair, more quarterbacks are elevated by pieces around them than quarterbacks elevate those pieces around them.
I think Allen can elevate. He's capable of elevating. But he just makes so many mistakes that it kind of evens out. And he is going to miss Diggs and Davis. I mean, the combination of the two, that's a lot to replace. But so I think that's the biggest thing about Lombardi's statement there is – you just don't want to have to pay a lot of dead money to players that aren't playing for you. That does put you behind the eight ball. It'll put you in tough situations. This is not, you know, it will catch up to you when you say, because a couple years ago he said they just redid it. Well, when you redo it and then you turn right around and trade him, you get caught with a big bill. That's a big bill.
And then they'll redo another contract.
Right. It sets you down a cycle. That's why I'm concerned about the Titans. When you go in hard on free agency for a lot of these guys, you might find yourself in that situation again, especially if what you hope happens. And that is you draft some guys that you want to sign to the next contract. You'll be looking around going, well, where are we going to get the money? Well, we got to go to so-and-so and so-and-so. We got a lot of cap dollars tied up in.
Yeah.
Which is what the Bills are going to do. Yeah. They'll go to Josh Allen. They'll go to whoever else is under contract in Buffalo. I mean, my goodness, they made so many changes this offseason. I don't even know who has a big contract in Buffalo.
It may just be.
But they'll redo those, and they'll free up cap space. So that cash that they owe to Gabe Davis and – to Stephon Diggs and Tre'Davious White, they'll get that off the books, and then moving – and they'll build through the draft because I think that's what they have to do. That's probably priority number 1A is receiver in the first round of the draft.
Well, if they don't get it right, then obviously Sean McDermott will be gone. I think this is – I think he's on the hot seat this year. If he doesn't get this right, and I mean, they got to be – either they got to get to the AFC Championship game or they need to be Kansas City on the way to that – going to the AFC Championship game. But they have to prove that they can beat Kansas City, and they have not proven that.
And it also puts him in a tough position. Hey, we're going to trade away our number one wide receiver – and also our number two wide receiver, and we need you to beat the Kansas City Chiefs this season.
Nah, that ain't going to happen. Unless you go out and get Adunze and Neighbors, find some way to get both of them, and then you're back in the mix.
And fairy tale lands are great.
Yeah, I know it is.
I would love to drive a sports car. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your phones on that. But coming up next, the Predators are hosting the St. Louis Blues tonight. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, and the 32 Thoughts podcast will join us to break it all down coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.